Reading from Isaiah chapter 60, beginning at verse 1. The glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tana, kupu kia tato. And the Holy Gospel, according to Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Thank glory to God. Te whakamoe miti, te karoria, ki te atua. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei. Ate karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ia te kupu mana.
The story of the wise men. The story of the wise men. It's a deeply loved and wonderful story, full of awe and mystery. And we love it. I think most of us do. I certainly do. I've loved the story all my life. On our Christmas cards, Every year we see them there. There they are, kneeling in homage to baby Jesus and offering him gifts. We see three men offering him gifts, and in the background we see the camels and the palm trees, and usually on our card there's a star up at the top over Bethlehem. The evangelist Matthew does not say that there were three men. He doesn't say that they were kings either. They are often referred to as the Magi, and that is probably what they were. I say that because Magi translates as wise men, which you'll also find, I think in most Bibles, you'll find that, wise men. It's one of those words which doesn't easily translate, because it's a concept of a kind of person we don't actually have in our world probably anymore. You know, they had a role in society and a rank in society that has gone away. Who were they? Well, a lot of people conclude that they were what is called Zoroastrians. The Zoroastrians were and are one of the oldest religions in the world, predating Islam by a very long time. How old? Nobody quite knows. They studied the stars. They were astrologers. They were supremely educated men of their time. They were skilled in philosophy. They came from the Far East, possibly as very likely, in fact, as far away as India. They still exist as a religion in parts of Iran and in parts of India. They were the origins of the people who are nowadays called the Parsis. These wise men, the Magi, we don't know how many there were either. Probably they traveled with what was called in those a caravan. A lot of people, a lot of stock going along with them, donkeys, horses, probably camels. At one time, it was said that there were 12 of them, 12 Magi. I don't know why, but it is what was said. Then early pictures show them as three. The earliest pictures I know of the Magi show them as three. And they were kings by this stage. Why were they kings? Well, the reason for that has been suggested that the world, as it was known then, was thought to have three empire-sized kingdoms. Shall we say the West and the Middle and then the East. And each kingdom is coming to bow down and worship baby Jesus, who is going to be the king of them all. More time went by, and these kings had names. They were called Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Melchior was supposed to be an old man with a beard. He brought gold. Caspar was a younger man. They thought he was about 40. And he brought frankincense. Balthazar was supposed to be dark-skinned, maybe African, probably Indian, and he brought myrrh. There's an important question here. When did they come, these Magi? Probably sometime when Jesus was a little boy, after a few years after, you know, the baby in a manger. It was unlikely that he was a baby at that time, because it would have taken some time for these Magi to make their decision that they were going to travel together where they would meet up, and then start the journey from way across the world to where they were going. As I say, they were probably coming away from as far away as India, and they were heading for Israel. Probably, and I find this particularly interesting, probably the mysterious visitors travelled the ancient path that has become known as the Silk Road, which seems to have existed for thousands of years. Certainly those precious gifts they bring are evocative of the sort of commodities that travelled the Silk Road, very exotic, very precious things. Things like frankincense, I think originally came from Iran. It had a long way to travel. Gold for a king. Frankincense for a high priest. Myrrh for one who was to die. These things betoken. They betoken the meaning of respect and homage being paid to a very great king. These were the gifts then of the wise men. And in their gifts they were foretelling that Jesus was to be the king before whom all the world would bow. Every king would bow. Every perfect high priest would bow. And at the end, this is the one who would be the supreme savior of all people. What can it say to us today? I find this story particularly matches us in this time of Christmas time travel, New Year travel, where all of us, like those travelers, it's our very big thing at the moment. Once we find that in our minds we imagine ourselves going across the distances to friends who live far away. In our minds and our thoughts and our prayers, we think of them, just as they were thinking on their long journey that in the end they would find the one who was their heart's desire, the King of all kings. So there's a longing in them, and there's a longing in us for our holiday season, for our meeting up with family, meeting up with friends. There's a bit of the wise men in us today. And put it this way, that we are all on this journey. And we all travel, do we not, at this time, in hope of something. In our family, in our friends, in peace, in contentment, we hope. So at this time, as we think of the wise men, think of your life's journey. Think of where your life's journey is taking you to. Think of what you hope for. And in your life's journey, think, what gifts are you bringing? What gifts are you really bringing to Jesus? Because there is one treasure that you are most particularly bringing, and that is the gift of life itself, which is in you. That very most precious thing, your life, that you bring to present before your King, Jesus. We're going into what is called the Epiphany season, the showing forth season, the time of the light shining. In Epiphany, we remind ourselves that light has dawned that will never go out. A light of faith and hope and joy that shines in all kinds of darkness that the world has shown us, the certainty of God's love, even in a time of anxiety and doubt. The treasure of our hearts awaits us, the light of Christ. Amen.